when Spencer and Jerem told them, like, well, this is how old we really are, he was like, oh, you guys are old. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean for my life?
It means you're an old middle-aged vanilla man.
I really am. Of all the old aged middle-aged vanilla men, I think if I base it on the picture you tweeted out, you win.
Hey, whoa, I got a full head of hair, buddy. So let's
full flowing silver locks.
It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 191. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I break down all of the biggest storylines from BYU Football Media Day, which includes independent scheduling, the health of Taysom and Jamal, and the effect of new strength coach Jason Wintrick. We also define exactly what is a middle-aged vanilla man. Once again, this is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout and listen to us yap right now. Rise and Shout Podcast, Matt. What's up?
What is up? It's Happy Media Day.
Happy Football Media Day, my brother. I assume you absorbed and listened to a ton of stuff today.
I did. I tried. I was putting it anywhere I could find time. All over the place.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you, man. Same here. That was any free time I had. And sometimes, even when I didn't have real free time, I still did it.
Oh, you know, I understand.
I was following the Twitter. But Matt, before we get into Football Media Day, I am introducing a new segment to the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. And I think the listeners want to know these things. So, here it is. What geeky thing is Adam doing now?
That's the burning question on everyone's mind.
Everyone's mind. What geeky
thing is he going to talk about this time?
Well, just to prove that we have geeky listeners, which I say with all due respect, not any demeaning, because you know...
You don't mean geeky in the pejorative.
No, I mean it as a compliment. I tweeted out earlier this evening that we are recording this, of course, on the night of Football Media Day, not Football Media Day Eve, which is also... I celebrate... in my house.
It's a special holiday.
Yeah, it's a very special holiday. I tweeted out a picture of me rocking my new royal blue hat, which, by the way, they have, if you are anywhere near Utah County, get to the BYU bookstore and get, they've got all the royal stuff discounted. So I got a hat, and we'll talk about this later. I've also got blue goggles. But Chad Clough, that's at Chad Clough on Twitter, says, Wheel of Time, nice, that's my favorite series. He was looking at the books in the background of my selfie.
Oh, come on. Nice. There's job, a huge Chad. Royal blue hat right there in the middle of the picture.
Well, I'm sure he loved that too. But, you know, he saw one of his favorite book series, which is one of mine as well, Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan, and then finished after he passed away by Brandon Sanderson, who's a BYU grad. See? Full circle. See how I did that?
Wow.
That's called professional. That's
I don't
professional
even know what
radio.
To do with that.
Yeah, it's professional radio. So, what we're not talking about that. I'm telling me my favorite geeky thing, and I have not finished the series, 4 episodes into the Netflix Marvel series, Daredevil. Wow. It's awesome.
Pretty awesome, huh?
It is. It's amazingly well done. It is also brutally violent. So I will say, anybody that's listening to this, that if you don't like brutal violence or you can't stomach that in a TV show, do not turn this on. So it's pretty intense, but very well done. And does everything right that the movie Daredevil did wrong.
You know, I really appreciate your caveat there. I, a couple of years ago, recommended a program to someone. I won't name what the program was, but I recommended a program to somebody. They watched the first two episodes of it and started to have nightmares and had to stop watching it. And they came to me and said, I just assumed that if you were watching this, it was going to be okay. And I'm like, my level of okay. And like, how was I supposed to know you were going to have nightmares?
Gotham?
No.
Oh, not Gotham, huh? I have heard people after we recommended that on the podcast, though I stopped watching it because it got really weird.
It did get weird. Why did they make it weird?
I don't know. It just got weird. It wasn't interesting weird. It was just weird. And I stopped watching. But I did have somebody on Twitter tweet at me after we recommended that. That was weird. I was like, sorry. but Matt, we're also going to talk about geeky things you do because, well, you're not a geek really, but we let you come into the clubhouse sometimes.
My geekiness is not on the same level as yours. I'll readily admit that.
No, that's just ridiculous. But, you know, I don't have the same cool factor you do, right? I mean, I was not high school captain football team guy. I was a guy, you know, on the weekends playing Dungeons & Dragons. So, Matt, you got a new phone, and it's like you're talking into a piece of toast. How do you like... Go ahead.
I'm talking into the whole toaster.
So you got the iPhone 6... Mega. No, it's not called that. It's called the Plus.
It's just the Plus.
No, I think it's the Mega. So how do you like it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I use this thing. I can't get off of it, actually.
That was true on your 5, by the way.
Yeah, but people freak out about the size. But when you compare the 6 Plus to the 6, it's not really that much more.
Yeah, it is.
But you're getting... I've watched... Do you know what's my favorite thing to do on it so far?
Let me guess, text.
No, watch baseball.
Oh,
watching baseball games MLB. On my TV? Phone now? Yes. Ah. Unbelievable. Oh, unbelievable.
Okay.
The camera is great. You know, as you know, we recently, we welcomed another little Mangum into the home.
Yes.
We've been taking some great pictures of the little guy.
You joined the club of four.
You know, it's like Jim Gaffigan said, what's it like to have four kids? Imagine you're drowning and someone hands you a baby.
You've told that joke on this podcast like three weeks
I told that joke 3 times today.
I use
not
it all the
including
time.
The time I just told it right now.
Yeah, I use it all. I use it all the time. Did I share on the podcast that somebody compared us to the Duggars when we walked into the YMCA because we had four kids? Not very good at math. 19
the Duggars have 5 times as many children as you.
5 times. That's a lot of times. Anyway, so you like the iPhone 6 Plus? Okay, my contract is up this fall. I don't know if I'm going to make the jump to the Plus. Though I do hear people say that they have the Plus, you basically don't need a tablet.
Exactly. I have relinquished my tablet to the kids.
Wow. Okay, that's big. Matt, before we get into Media Day and stuff, I did go visit BYU Sports Nation recording session on, this is Wednesday, this was on Monday morning, and got to see the whole crew. Man, it makes our operation look really, really small.
Yeah, you think?
They have this, you know, huge control room, looks like they're launching, you know, Sputnik, and...
I think they actually have the capability to launch Sputnik.
I believe they do. It's a collaboration with Putin.
Real quickly, Sputnik just means satellite.
And are we pronouncing it correctly, Russian expert? Or is it Sputnik?
It's actually, that attempt was a little bit closer to the correct
pronunciation. Okay, give us the correct pronunciation, Russian geek.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Oh, just stop being a baby and say it.
I think it's Sputnik.
Sputnik.
But I'd have to hold on. Let me pull out a dictionary here. You see, you've got on your shelf, you've got all these like Star Wars novels. I've got dictionaries.
Yeah, you've got Russian dictionaries. Should I do my Sean Connery?
Sputnik. Boy.
You know, he was the he was in Hunt for Red October, one of the worst Russian accents ever done in film. So anyway. So I had a great time. They do a great show. It was great to see it behind the glass, if you will, and got to meet Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan, both frequent friends of the podcast. I will say this. Spencer's hair is even more spectacular in person. It's like, I don't even know. It's
really?
Like its own.
Really?
It's like its own living creature.
I don't even know what to do with what you just said.
Well, do
I don't even know how to process that. So his hair is pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But I think he's losing it. So, yeah. That's...
Listen. I mean, I can't make a lot of comment there.
No, you cannot.
Let's just call a spade a spade here.
Yeah, we'll call it that. But it was a great visit, and special shout out to Ben Bagley, who's the producer who showed me around. Great guy. They've got just a lot of talent there. I love what BYU TV Sports, what BYU Radio is doing. There's so much awesomeness, and that broadcasting building is amazing. It's really cool. If you want more details on my visit, just check out the @BYU_RiseShout Twitter feed for Monday, and I did a bunch of live tweeting of my visit. So, all right, Matt, it is time for an actual real segment that people care about.
Here we go.
The CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
All right, Matt, Tyler Haws has a backup plan. All right?
Attaboy.
So if he is not on a NBA roster on July 31st, he will be playing for, and let me find the name of this team. It's a Spanish league team, and it's, where did the name of this team go? Can you give me some looking for the name music, Matt? Wait a second. Was that Nintendo music?
What? No. That was not anything specific at all. That was the first song that came into my head.
That totally was. That was
It was Mario Brothers. It was the first song that came into my head. Please, can we start talking about sports again? I'm turning into a geek.
Hey, buddy. It's okay. It's okay to admit that you're turning into a geek, or maybe you have been one all the whole time. It's okay. It's all right.
Mm.
We're not judging here. Actually, there's probably listeners who are judging. Anyway, I can't find the name of the team at the moment, but it's something like crazy that basically translates to like Friends of the Basketball. But anyway. He's got this backup plan to go play in Spain if he is not drafted or on a roster on July 31st. As much as it's great that he has a backup plan, I really hope that he doesn't have to use it.
So I'm going to just go ahead and just destroy this because I don't speak Spanish.
Where is it?
He's going to be playing for Obradorio Club de Amigos do Baloncesto.
Wow.
Baloncesto.
I think your Spanish is worse than my Russian.
Obradorio Clube. I can't speak Spanish. Are you kidding me?
Where'd you find this so I can help you with the Spanish pronunciation?
I Googled Tyler Haws Spain.
Ah.
It's on there were a couple articles that popped up.
Look at you. Look at you using the Google machine.
The name of the team in this article says the name of the team translates literally as Obradorio Friends of Basketball Club.
Yes. So where is it? All right, there it is. Obradorio. Wow, that is kind of a weird one.
Dorio. See?
Clube de Amigos do Baloncesto.
Baloncesto. Is that basketball?
Baloncesto. Yes, kind of.
Can I say basketball in Russian?
How do you say it?
Basketball.
That's how most of the Spanish words says basketball. So, but
that's
yes.
Exciting though. At least he's got somewhere to be, right?
He's got a plan. That's great.
And it's a great opportunity to play some professional ball, get to Europe, travel around a little bit. I think he's going to have a good experience. You look at, there's a couple guys out of BYU who have done that.
Yeah.
And gone and played overseas, it's turned out to be a really cool experience for him. So I think either way, this is a winning situation for Tyler Haws.
Well, and I didn't have this on the agenda, Matt, but friend of the podcast, Skylar Halford, also tried out for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
So, and Halford on this podcast about a month ago said that he plans on playing professionally. And if it's not the NBA, he'll be headed to Europe. So, but he got a tryout with the Jazz. In other news, Matt, there was a change, as we talked about on the podcast, about the BYU men's volleyball team losing their head coach. They now have a head coach, Matt, and it's the former women's head coach, now former women's head coach, Sean Olmstead, with rocking the mustache. And his sister, Heather, is taking over the women's program in his place. Matt, what's your take on this? I mean, they broke the news on BYU Sports Nation with me in the back room. It was kind of cool to watch them break the news. But Matt, what's your take on this? Are you excited about a former player and successful women's coach taking over the men's program?
Absolutely. I think when you look at what the men's program has been doing, you want a guy who's familiar with the institution, familiar with the history of the program. You know, in this case, may even be comfortable with some of the players. It's a great pick to get in there, and he's had some success with the women's program. Obviously, you gotta love the mustache.
Yes.
So, I think it's a great pick. I'm a little bit surprised, but then at the same time, if you're gonna make that move, you gotta backfill him with somebody that you're confident in to carry on the success of the women's program. And I feel like that's exactly what they did. I mean, they took a situation, as we talked about it, when McGowan left, that, you know, seemed a little bit out of the blue and felt like, okay, this is a little bit shaky, and have established some consistency, established stability inside of both programs with the way that they played this. I think very well done by the athletic department.
I agree. I'm excited about both hires, and I think they'll do great. And both teams should be good next year. The women's team lost obviously an All-American, but I think they'll still be good. And the men's team, you know, lost their libero and one other guy. They could be NCAA tournament bound next year. So anyway, good news. Well, Matt, it's now time to talk about Football Media Day.
Yes.
So we're going to start with, I thought it was great at the beginning of the state of the program they were asked about, and they being Tom Homo and Bronco Mendenhall, were asked about Tommy Hudspeth and spent a little time remembering him. He passed away this week and was the coach that set everything up for Lavelle Edwards and first WAC championship in 1965, and Virgil Carter and other great players played for him. But I just would a shout out to him and the great career that he had, and important piece to the puzzle that then ushered in the Lavelle Edwards era. So Matt, on the state of the program, we're going to kind of go down some of the things they talked about and throw a few other things in there. So first, and I'm going order of things they talked about. Bronco talked about how much the players love playing in these NFL venues. He was being asked about the tough schedule, and he said how unique an opportunity that is. Matt, do you think that's something that can help us in the recruiting wars?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that, because it's something that it's fairly unique, the frequency at which BYU does this, and what player doesn't want to go play a game in, you know, the house that Jerry built, or go to Arrowhead and get in you're in the locker room where the NFL players are, and you get a feel for what that facility is like, and in front of those types of crowds. I know as a fan, it was really fun to attend the University of Houston game at Reliant. It's just a cool experience, and it is something that it's something you can take advantage of in this era of independence, that I think for both fans and for potential players gives you a little bit something to make you stick out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because not many teams are playing these kind of games.
Right.
And certainly not mid to lower tier P5, and definitely not teams outside of that, with Boise maybe being the one exception where they could swing a deal like that. Tom Homo talked about the bowl game situation. Of course, there's two possibilities this season: the Hawaii Bowl or the Las Vegas Bowl, and the other one being 2 years out, whichever one they don't get in. Homo said pretty much ESPN gets to decide.
Actually, I believe that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. So
I think McCann asked him, so who gets, which of the two bowls gets first choice, and his response was ESPN gets the first choice.
Yeah, and they will set up, in his words, the most compelling matchup, and then I'm paraphrasing, to get eyeballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So McCann points out, which I pointed out, and you had pointed out on this podcast weeks ago, well, it could be Utah. And Bronco basically said, bring it on. That would be awesome. And think about it, you'd play Utah to end this season, and then you play him in September of 2016.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of cool. If it
that gets
out
interesting
that
after the hiatus, huh?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I think that is, ESPN, if there's any possibility, I believe ESPN makes that happen. But again,
a game in Las Vegas against BYU and Utah, if there's any way they can swing that, it'd be stupid not to. That's a moneymaker.
Absolutely. They will want to set that up. And we've talked about it before. They will do it if they can, but things have to align for that to happen. Right, that's not a given by any stretch of the imagination. So, next on the topics that they covered was they announced a two-game series with Toledo, starting one in Provo in 2016, and then I believe in 2019 back in Toledo. Matt, you and I talked about that what the schedule lacked a little bit was some variety in the non-P5 opponents. Well, they got a MAC school and a pretty decent, mid-tier program.
Yeah, I think these guys were ranked last year, weren't they?
Yeah, they won 9
games. I mean, regardless of the fact that their mascot looks like he's in that, what is that, Daft Punk or whatever that band is. But, it's a decent program. I mean, who knows where they'll be in 2019 when we play that game on the road. But, I just can't wait for the Holy Toledo jokes that will happen during the week of that game.
Yes, there will be a lot. I mean, Rocket's not bad, but then when you look at the Toledo Rocket, it is a little weird.
Isn't it a guy in a helmet?
Yes, it's a guy in a helmet who looks like he's playing Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid, there we go. I think that's the Metroid helmet is like pointy on the back, isn't it? Metroid was a long time ago. Wow, we are geeking out pretty hard.
We are geeking out and doing a lot of Nintendo references, apparently. I don't believe it was that it was pointy on the side, on the back.
Yes, but I think if you Google, is it Daft Punk?
Daft Punk?
Just Google that, okay, and compare that to images of the Toledo mascot and tell me you don't see a resemblance.
I do. Or Cylons from the original Battlestar Galactica. let's just geek this thing out, man.
Wow, this is getting weird.
This is getting weird, but we'll get to weird here in a minute. So Bronco then goes on to say P5, basically some of this is coming from state of the program and some of it's coming from his then later interview with BYU Sports Nation. But he basically said after that first year of independence, he and Homo got together and said, we can't play schedules like this. We have to play bigger, better schedules. And then Bronco said this on BYU Sports Nation, Matt, about playing those different tougher schedules and what it means to their mentality in 2015.
What mindset do you want your players to have in preparation for that first Nebraska game?
We intend to hunt teams down for inclusion. And so they're not coming to Provo, so we're going to hunt them down and then replace them. And if they have a spot, we would intend to take that spot. I want our players to view that same thing. And so, again, I have respect for every team we play, and especially their coaches. Our position is not one of leverage. We're in a position of earning. We're not in a position of entitlement. We're in a position of really demonstration. And so the biggest stages against the best teams, but we're not going just to see what it's like in Lincoln.
Matt, they're on the hunt.
Yeah.
They're going for these teams and basically saying, we deserve your spot in the P5. Anybody that thought that Bronco was getting complacent and was satisfied with their position in the football universe, I think that clip makes it very, very clear that he is not satisfied with their place in the football universe.
Oh, yeah. When he starts talking about us, oh, yeah, we're on the hunt. We're going to hunt these guys down, and we want to beat them and replace them.
Yeah.
Like that is that's very aggressive talk.
Very.
But you got to love it. And I loved that conversation about being on the hunt. And, you know, and then they brought that up on BYU Sports Nation and some of their discussions with players. And I think that it helps breed the type of culture that you want for this football program at this point in time.
Yeah.
And I also love to hear Bronco talk about, and I thought this was, you got a little bit more depth on this today, about how he has approached his involvement with the scheduling, his conversation around, well, I can control what teams I'll agree to play. And this idea of after the first year, it sounds like he basically went to Tom Holmoe and said, we're not doing that again. We're not doing a schedule like this again.
Yeah, it's
and
awesome.
You've got to love that. And then you get to the point where you get the schedules you want. This is exactly the attitude you need to have. We are on the hunt. Let's go get them.
So, Matt, beautiful segue there into some of what Tom Holmoe said about the schedule. McCann asked a question about scheduling difficulties, and Holmoe said that the American Athletic Conference has been a great partner for them, including helping them getting that game in the Miami Beach Bowl last season. And he also mentioned that Tulsa helped move things around, and I'm just kind of blown away that, you know, everyone says BYU is difficult to deal with. A lot of the media people say that. But, Matt, American Athletic Conference is lining up to help us. You know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are scheduling games with us in the SEC. Doesn't sound very difficult to work with, does it?
Apparently not. I mean, you keep getting these indications that, you know, that there's programs and sometimes surprising programs, you know, people you wouldn't think of, you know, stepping in to participate in this in a way that's helpful for BYU. So it sounds to me like, you know, you wouldn't consistently be having that experience if the word out there was that BYU is just impossible to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And one of the things he talked about also was the Mountain West Conference. Now, we have a lot of games scheduled with Mountain West opponents, including pretty much kind of our perpetual arrangement, at least as of now, with Boise State. McCann joked, and I second this notion, thanks for not taking us to Wyoming, McCann said. Shots fired. But he's not worried about ticking off the five Wyoming fans that have found the internet. Sorry.
Do they get internet in Wyoming?
Not in Laramie.
Listen, there were only fans from one other program listening to Media Day today.
That's true.
And they weren't from Wyoming.
Yeah, and trust me, I won't be listening to Utah Media Day. Don't care. So he said, now Holmoe said there will be more Mountain West teams on the schedule, different ones, including some traditional rivalries. I hope that means I'd love to play Colorado State and Air Force. I've talked about this before. I'd love to see them back on the schedule.
What about San Diego State? I have to ask you that question every time this comes up.
Is this called trolling?
I think that's exactly what I'm doing.
Are you being a troll?
I am trolling.
I do not want to play San Diego State ever again.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Can't stand them. All right. So next, Bronco talked about the defense. He talked about, well, first, before the defense, he is concerned about long-term depth at quarterback, offensive line, and defensive back. Is this just like a perpetual thing? Aren't those the three that may be the hardest for BYU to fill consistently?
Yeah, maybe. But I think we're all concerned about long-term depth at quarterback right now. There's a lot of questions there. I mean, anytime you bring a guy that's graduating in to run the twos in spring ball,
like that,
come on, that's a reason. And I know Tanner's getting back from his mission,
yeah,
and then you got Bo Hodge coming in, doesn't necessarily know the system yet. I get that, but those are all indicators that you've got something to think about here as far as long-term depth.
Yeah, I think those issues have fixed themselves. I'm not that worried about the quarterback depth. You've got two guys, Tanner Mangum and – or I should say it the way he says his last name, Mangum. By the way, we got a shout out on our pronunciation by Jerem Jordan on the podcast because I asked a question. So I mean, on the BYU Sports Nation, he said Adam Mangum and then said Tanner Mangum. There you go. Yeah, look at that. I think this will be solved. What Bronco mentioned about guys want to lead, and it's rare to find, you know, a truly elite guy that will stick around as a backup. I get what he's saying, but I feel better about the depth going forward. You know, this was kind of a weird couple years, you know. And like I said, it is weird to have a departing senior run your spring practice, like unprecedented.
You think?
Yeah. So then Bronco was
I think at this point, Christian Stewart is a financial analyst.
Yes. He's graduated. He's moved on. So, you know, it was weird. So Bronco was asked about him taking over the defense. He covered this in both programs today, and I was fascinated, Matt, okay? He said defensive success is dependent on a fierce belief in what the players are asked to do. And he talked a lot about executing assignments. He was asked who the playmakers would be on BYU Sports Nation, and he said, basically, they'll be the guys that do their assignments and make the plays they're supposed to make. Then, this is the one, Matt, that just fascinates me. He said, history has shown that only 15 guys will really commit to the defensive scheme. 15 guys. That's only 4 backups.
Yep.
So
basically one guy at each level of the defense and then a wild card.
What does that mean? I mean, does that just mean that these other guys, as much as they try to recruit, they end up just not being a fit? Is this cultural? Is it skill? Is it, what is it, man? You were a defensive player.
I think he's referring to something cultural. Yeah. I think Bronco Mendenhall wants to see some very specific characteristics of the way his players approach the game, the way his players approach game preparation, the way they execute their assignments and rely on their teammates to execute their assignments. You know, in that sense, I mean, football is really the ultimate team sport, right? You're trying to get 11 guys to all act as one and absolutely trust one another to execute in their own sphere, right?
Right.
And in Bronco's scheme, it really highlights that. And so he's saying that, you know, you've got, and sometimes in that scheme, you might not be called upon to do the real flashy things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might be the guy who's eating up a blocker, and you might need to do that consistently. And he's going to go, and what he's saying is that historically he's found that he can get about 11 starters to commit to the way he wants to run that defense, and then a handful of backups.
Yeah.
And then everybody else. And maybe everybody else are the younger guys who are still coming up through the system and learning it and getting into that culture. And maybe that's who, that beyond those 15, that's who those players are. But I think he's clearly sending a message here to his players. He said it in his State of the Program address. He said it again on BYU Sports Nation. This is a message to players on defense who want to play.
Yep. And how they get there. And there was a question on the BYU Sports Nation interview about Fred Warner showing flashes. And Bronco dismissed the flashes and basically said, flashes mean you're not getting your job done on a consistent basis. So he is sending a broad message, and he's, I think, also sending very specific messages. Again, if people think that Bronco is somehow disengaged and doesn't really care how this program does, they need to watch these videos or listen to the audio. Matt, Robert and I was on the State of the Program. As usual, he didn't say a whole lot. Glenn Kozlowski on BYU Sports Nation pointed out that he finds it fascinating that Robert is in front of the media so much, when he said he only heard the guy say maybe one or two words the entire 4 years they were on campus together. So, and playing on the same unit.
Yeah, is that really surprising to anybody?
No. Again, only if you haven't watched any of these interviews. But one thing he said that was interesting is they brought what he's calling the Bash Brothers, Tanner Baldari and Steven Richards, from the defensive side of the ball to basically be extra tight ends to help with the running game. Matt, does it make you excited that we might run two or three true tight end sets with Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill in the backfield?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, me too.
And especially when you bring these defensive guys over, who essentially is blocking tight ends, that tells me we're really going to try and lay the wood on some of these opposing defenses. And that's the type that I'm excited to see that. If we can pull that off offensively, where we're just ramming the ball down people's throats, that is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. I you know what it made me think of was, you know, one of the weaknesses of that up-tempo offense is when you get up by 3 touchdowns, can you actually slow down and and burn time, right? Because at the beginning with the up-tempo offense, time is, you don't care about time, right? You're going hard, going fast. Time is, it's efficiency, right? But when you're up by 21 points in the third quarter, now all of a sudden time can be your friend if you can eat it up. But a lot of these teams really struggle to do that, right? Once they get up. So I envision like up by 21 points in the third quarter and all of a sudden we're handing it to the halfbacks 7, 8, 9 times in a row behind a huge set. That'd be awesome.
Oh, and the ability to pace the game that way, I think that if you look back in the early days of Robert and I 2.0, that was something that frustrated people, was kind of the inability to pace it.
Yes. And it might have been personnel, right?
I think it was a combination of personnel, and also it takes a couple of years to install what it is that Dr. and I is trying to do here. It's taking some time.
Yeah. Agreed, and he will figure it out though this year, I think, because he's going to have a little bit different personnel than he had before. But you know, it will be pretty awesome, I think, to see if they actually do mix it up a little bit. Next, related to that, he came on the program, but Anai was asked first, is the new strength and conditioning coach Frank? Is it Wintrich or Wintrich?
I don't know, but I'm definitely not going to mispronounce it. The one person you don't mess with is the strength coach.
Well,
unfortunately, nobody told P. Diddy that, but I'm not going to make that mistake.
well done, sir. Anai said about the new coach, the guys look better and stronger. And then when he came on the program, he said something that I know you're going to love. Fourth and one is determined in June and July.
Yes. I can just see him. You know, guys are down lifting weights and doing their stuff, and he's just yelling that at them.
Yes.
If you don't get excited with that picture in your head, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
You're not doing football right.
Yeah. See, I knew this would fire you up. And then on BYU Sports Nation, Taysom Hill went on to say that, you know, they end up spending more time with him than they spend with any other coach. So I don't think we can understate the effect that a great strength and conditioning coach can have on a program. And it was clear that Bronco was excited to have him as well.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at what they're trying to do offensively and defensively as a byproduct of the go fast, go hard. The conditioning is going to be key.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You have to be in much better shape than your opponent for this to work.
Yes, exactly. And at times I felt like we weren't in the past few seasons, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Also, Jamal and Taysom came on State of the program, and we'll get to some of their comments on BYU Sports Nation. Anai said about Jamal that he will be ready to go for Nebraska. Matt, how are you feeling on a scale of 0 to 100, that 0 being no confidence and 100 being very confident that Jamal will be full strength 73 days from now when we play Nebraska?
I'm going to give you Jamal's answer. I'm going to say 80%. Because it's a really neutral way to answer the question, right? But I understand what they're saying. He's going to be ready to go. But you know, you look at like Taysom Hill, who's been practicing and has been cleared and all this for several weeks now. We all feel good about that. I'll feel good about Jamal when we're getting reports out of fall camp that he's a full participant and looks good. That's when I will stop worrying about Jamal. But until then, I'm worried.
Amen, brother. Because, You know, you and I both listened to the excellent, now defunct, Fantasy Focus podcast, and they had injury expert Stefania Bell on a lot. And one thing that has always resonated that she would say is, nobody's ready to go until they're ready to go, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody who's not, who wouldn't start today, there's no guarantee, especially recovering from an injury like his, that he will be ready to go 73 days from now. Now, it sounds like everyone feels good about it, and the medical staff and Anai and him, which is great. But I'm with you. I will not, the worry won't be done until they say the same thing about him that they're now saying about Taysom, which is if the game was tomorrow, he'd be a full participant. And right. They did not say that today.
No, they did not.
So, you know, he expects to be there in the Nebraska lineup. So that's good. I'm excited as well. So Matt, BYU Sports Nation, then followed up with, after an hour of State of the Union, then 2 hours of BYU Sports Nation, and it was awesome.
Yes, it was.
So a couple of quotes I pulled out that I thought were interesting. Taysom basically was asked the question that annoys him, which is, you know, are you going to run less or whatever? And he basically said, we're going to call less designed runs, but he'll still scramble and do his thing. And I love this. If I can get into the end zone, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
If I've got a chance to win a football game, he said, I'm going to do it. You and I have talked about this before. I don't want him to change that mentality. I think if he does that, he will become a lesser quarterback.
And I think he actually increases his chances of getting hurt. And I feel it's like running the safe, prevent defense, right? Like you can't go half speed.
Right.
And I think Taysom made a really good point on BYU Sports Nation today when he said, hey, listen, you get down into those short yard situations inside the five near the goal line, and you can add an additional blocker by letting the quarterback run the ball, it makes it a lot easier to score.
Yes.
You know, and when you've got a big running back, a big quarterback who can run like that, you have to take advantage of that.
Yes. He is the best short yardage running back in the country. To me, there's no doubt of that. If you need a yard, and Jamal is a good short yardage back too, so it's not meaning any demeaning, but when you've got those two guys in the backfield and the defense basically has to say, he might keep it or he might hand it to this guy, you've already got them on their heels.
That's right, because either option can get you those yards.
Yes, so I don't want them to take that out of the playbook because I believe his running ability is what makes him a potentially Heisman candidate. Not that he's not a good thrower, but we need him to run to win, I believe.
And him running is going to open up the running game for Jamal. It's going to create opportunities for Jamal. I think about that relationship a lot like the Ziggy Ansah-Kyle Van Noy relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He will create opportunities for Jamal that wouldn't exist with a different quarterback. And I'd love to see Jamal do that. I want Jamal to have a breakout year this fall. I'd like to see him get in a good situation in the NFL and all this. The other thing too, though, is that having a diverse running game like that is going to open up passing opportunities for him. I mean, it's key to the offense. You can't take it out, and you can't play scared.
No. And Mitch Matthews, in his interview today, said something that I thought was interesting. They were asking him about, you know, he's a big receiver. Nick Kurtz is a big receiver. And obviously, they've also got some inside receivers that hopefully will do some damage this year. And what Matthews said was, you know, if they can throw the ball downfield and force the defense to put maybe three defensive backs 15 yards off the line of scrimmage to guide against the deep ball, what does that do for Hill's ability to run?
Yeah.
And run in situations where he's unlikely to get hit. Matthew said one of the ways that they're going to keep him healthy is an effective passing game and a deep passing game. And when you've got two 6'6 wide receivers on the outside, that helps.
It was funny to hear Matthews talk about how when the receivers go out places, everybody thinks that they're from the basketball team.
Yeah, or the volleyball team, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome. Well, they're 6'6", you know?
They're huge.
There are not a lot of wide receivers in BYU history that are that big, like none.
Yeah, now we're you know, bursting at the seams with them.
Yeah, so Bronson Gafusi was also on BYU Sports Nation. Entertaining interview. He said what he's supposed to say about the position change, which is, I will play wherever I play, right?
Right.
What I did find interesting in his interview, Matt, though, Jerem Jordan looked up his stats while they were on the air, because Bronson basically said, well, I'm going to try to do better than I did last year, okay? So right. You just listen to this, this may be rigged here. But we'll try it anyway. So, Bronson Gafusi, okay? I'm going to do a little over-under for you. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Over-under, let me see, make sure I'm phrasing this the way I want to do it. Over-under last year, this is his last year stats. Stats in 2014, his junior season. Over-under 9.5 tackles for loss.
Over.
All right. He had 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
Over, under 6.5 sacks.
Under.
Over. He had 7 sacks.
Seven sacks. Okay. I was thinking it was 6. Okay.
In 11 games as a junior, okay? 11 games. No Kyle Van Noy. No other elite defender. This guy had more tackles for loss. Almost more tackles for loss than he had in his sophomore and freshman years combined, and had three more sacks than he had had the year before. Isn't there a narrative out there that this position change basically turned Gafusi into a non-entity?
Oh, yeah.
That is not backed up by the statistics. He had more tackles for loss, and more sacks, and he was the only pass-rushing threat that they had most of the season.
Right, but the pass rush last week was not very solid.
He was
the only one, and so it was a little bit easier to game plan against, right? And the defense was not a sack machine.
No.
And, you know, he seems to kind of defend that by saying that wasn't the intention wasn't necessarily to always – we weren't trying to rack up the sacks as much as get in the backfield, defend the run, hurry the quarterback up or whatever. But listen, you got to sack the quarterback more, right? And I think people were looking for Bront. I think the expectation was a Kyle Van Noy type of season, right, where you just take over a game on defense. And that's pretty difficult to do. But I think that expectation coupled with some of these other things with the defense is what led to this narrative you're describing where Gafusi was kind of a non-entity.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Matt. This is what I will say. The pass rush last year was not enough. And that's clear. That it was not enough, but let's say this: what kind of stats did Van Noy put up? Sacks and tackles for loss in his career, different seasons. Pretty, you know, they were elite, better than Gafusi's, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He had his awesome junior season. He had 22 tackles for loss and 13 sacks, right? He had 7 interceptions, right? In his career, including 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, higher. But Gafusi had statistically a extremely good year last year. And I think that kind of got lost as, oh, they put him out as an outside linebacker. Now he's, see, it didn't work. It worked. The problem was there wasn't enough everywhere else to put enough consistent pressure on the quarterback. Is that fair? Or do you think I'm digging too far?
No, that may be fair. I think a case could be made for what you're saying, but I think you also have to look at it and say, as a defensive scheme, that personnel adjustment didn't work.
Yes, sure.
It worked for Gafusi. Gafusi can play that position. Gafusi can execute there and influence the game and make, you know, he'd rack up the tackles for a loss and those types of things. But when you look at from the standpoint of using your personnel, he was your only option on the pass rush.
Yes.
I feel like you've got to do something different there. But what they were hoping there is that one of these other guys would develop and step up over the course of the season. It just didn't go that way.
It didn't go that way. And I do believe he will line up all over the place. I don't think he will always be on the weak side end position. I think he will play some linebacker. They may even line him up in the middle. I think they will do different things with him to try to create matchup problems, which is great.
And I think we should expect to see improved play from some of these other positions.
Yes.
On defense that will allow them to do some of that more effectively.
Yes, I think Bronco being the coach, as we've talked about before, will change a lot of things. Bronson said something very interesting. They asked him about Corbin, and he talked about how he's improving. But then Bronson claims, Matt, that he is consistently beating Corbin in 21. Is it time to panic about Corbin's basketball career?
Maybe.
That's brotherly ribbing going on.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. But I'd be pretty mad. Like if it were me and you, and you went and you went on and said, and I was the basketball player, and you were the football player, and you went on and said that, dude, I would kill you.
Yes.
I can't believe he did that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come on, you hanging your brother out to dry like that?
I agree with you and also find it awesome at the same time. Because I totally would do that to you if the situation was the same.
Yeah, you would do it even if it weren't true.
Absolutely. I say things that aren't true all the time. So the last interview we'll talk about from BYU Sports Nation was Jamal Williams. We talked about him a little bit. Andre Hutchins on Twitter, that's at @AC_Hutchins. He says, Matt, that, Jay Williams said that he will be 100% ready to go for Nebraska. That was his favorite part of Media Day. He also says the new Pixar movie is great. Haven't seen Inside Out yet. Plan to see it. I assume you have not either.
No, I plan to take the kids this weekend. We were going to go Father's Day weekend. Had something come up. So.
Have you seen Avengers?
No.
Jurassic World?
Nope.
You need to re-examine your life. I haven't seen Jurassic World either, but I've got the advantage of my wife and the girls are out of town, so I will probably see 3 to 4 movies in the theater in the next week.
Attaboy.
That's what you got to do. So anyway, Jamal had, Matt, maybe the highlight of the entire day was his interaction with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan about a commercial they had filmed, which I have seen. It aired today on BYU TV. Where they are in his closet but basically saying he has the best fashion sense. Matt, I will just roll the clip from here and let Jamal take it. So this is Jamal Williams off of BYU Sports Nation today.
Because we hang out in your closet. You're getting some clothes.
Yeah.
Which isn't weird at all.
Nope, not weird at all. When I saw this script for that, I thought, this is a little odd. Let's just do it.
Like, I'm not going to see two middle-aged...
Middle-aged
vanilla man in my closet.
Okay, one of those statements was accurate, the other was not. Do you know how old we are?
What are you, 35?
Is 35 middle-aged?
Bro, you there? Okay. How old are you?
I'm 31.
Ooh, how do you
guess?
You in the 30s though, aren't you?
I'm 33.
Ooh, y'all old.
So he called them, just to reiterate what you just heard, middle-aged vanilla men. It was absolutely fantastic. Matt, Jerem's 31, Spencer said he was 33. 35 is technically middle-aged, right? By definition, the average age, you know, that we die is 72, right? Men in America.
Jeez. Wow, we're really going there.
But Jamal's got a point. But I have to say, so I tweeted out a picture of me with Jerem and Spencer that I took this week and said, that, my friend, is the middle-aged vanilla man in the middle, which is me. I found that to be, he's got a fun personality.
Oh, I love him. And everybody, you know, by all accounts, everybody loves him. You know, they his teammates love him. BYU fans love him. His mom loves him. Everybody loves him. You know, Jamal's a great guy. He's a credit to the program. you know, and he's clearly a lot of fun. Now, one of the first things I did think of while I was listening to that piece was like, oh, geez, if they're, because when Spencer and Jerem told them, like, well, this is how old we really are, he was like, oh, you guys are old. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, what does this mean for my life?
It means you're an old, middle-aged vanilla man.
I really am. But come on. I mean, listen, of all the old-aged, middle-aged vanilla men, I think if I base it on the picture you tweeted out, you win.
Hey, whoa. I got a full head of hair, buddy. So
full flowing silver locks.
Hey, all I can say is I'd rather have silver locks than your chrome dome, buddy.
Oh, so you know, when I grow it out, I got a little bit of salt and pepper there. Yeah, but
yeah, you probably have as much as me. You just shave it bald.
I don't have as much because there's just not as much up there.
Yeah. This whole thing, Matt, I loved Media Day. It was great. You know, one of the great things about BYU Sports Nation, I know it has its limitations, right? They work for the university, you know, so there's certain things they can't say about recruiting that they already know. There's certain things they know they can't say because of the access that they get. But one of the nice things is because they end up interacting with a lot of these athletes in a maybe less confrontational way than traditional media, you got Jamal, Taysom, even Bronco to open up in ways that you just don't hear them in other interviews. And to me as a fan, it's really cool to see that. So I really enjoyed the whole show today. We didn't get a chance to talk about the 40 years. We'll have to put that of Football Dominance show. We'll put that on the docket for next week, Matt. But I just loved it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and this is the time of year that's kind of like it's this like gap of sports, right? You got baseball, but you're not really to the All-Star break, and so this is the perfect time, you know, for this. You got spring ball, then you got media day. Everybody's hungry for some football, and this is just the right time for it. And BYU has found a way to really take advantage of some of the opportunities that come along with the independents and the BYU TV, and turn it into an event. That's fun to follow, fun to be a part of, and those guys do a great job. I mean, you know, we joke around a little bit about Jamal giving them a hard time, but I think all around, the way it's set up and what you get out of it as a fan, I mean, it is a ton of fun. They do a great job with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was a fun day to watch. So Matt, anything to add before we sign off today?
No, I got nothing. I mean, we've pretty much run the gamut.
Yes. And basically, you've proven you may be a lot more geeky than you think.
I mean, I'll just leave that alone.
And I was able to work in Battlestar Galactica and Metroid, so geek points for me.
Yeah, the Metroid reference was, I mean, nobody saw that coming.
Well, and Daft Punk, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, Matt. So, as always, we encourage you to find all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. You can follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout to get in on the conversation. And we will be back next week with at least one special guest, and we'll also talk about the 2016 schedule as well as 40 years of football dominance. Thanks again for listening and downloading, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!